citizen who was attacked by ICE.
Because I thought it was really important when Trump was going to spew lies about what the state of our union, that he has to look at the into the eyes of the people that he's harming directly. And I had the opportunity to hear his story when I went to Minneapolis and thought, and I just, you know, offered my seat to Ilhan because I knew she had a lot of people directly impacted that she could bring with her.
Mm-hmm. In the last 20 seconds, the expansion of these ICE detention centers that you have been fighting all over the country.
Yep. I mean, they want to pop up everywhere. It's just literal warehouses of human suffering. And I'm afraid for this country. I'm afraid for the constituents in my community because he is locking up citizens. And the process to get them out is costly, expensive, and is tearing our communities apart.
Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva, I want to thank you so much for being with us, the first Latina to represent Arizona in Congress. That does it for our show, Democracy Now!, produced with Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Terracena, Nicole Salazar, Sarah Nasser, Trina Nadura. I'm Amy Goodman. This is another edition of Democracy Now!
This is KBOO Portland, volunteer-powered community radio.
Hello, KBOO supporters. It's tax season. To request a copy of your 2025 tax receipt, email membership@kboo.org or call at 971-801-1381. That's 971-801-1381 for your 2025 tax receipt. Thank you.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 8:01 a.m. Next up is Wednesday Talk Radio with Jacqueline Keeler.
Well, if you're looking for purpose in the current circus, if you're seeking respect and attention, if you're in need of a gig that'll help you feel big, come with me and put some folks in detention. Just last week was kind of rough. I put a kid in cuffs and zip-tied a woman to a van. We can sneak around town hunting working folks down. I hear they get a great benefit plan. Join ICE, boy, ain't it nice. Join ICE, take my advice. If you're lacking control and authority, come with me and hunt down minorities. Join ICE. Well, I failed the academy, the cops weren't having me, the army didn't sound that fun. So I found me a paramilitary operation that was keen to hand me a gun. See, I got picked on in school, I never felt that cool. There's a hole in my soul that just rages. All the women turned me down, they told me I was a clown. Well, won't you look at me now, I'm putting folks in cages. At ICE, they got great hours. Join ICE for respect and power. They got a sign-on bonus of 50 grand. They're in need of you needing to feel like a man. Join ICE. Join ICE.
Good morning, Portland. This is Jacqueline Keeler, and you're listening to 90.7 FM KBOO. And this is Wednesday, February 25th, 2026. I know maybe at least some of you watched, probably very few, the entire State of the Union address by Trump last night, which was, I think, the longest on record ever, longer, I think the second longest one was his previous one in his first administration. And so, so we're coming to you live this morning after the longest and arguably most volatile State of the Union address in modern history. And it was, I think, about 108 minutes, and it was pure attention. So, anyway, good morning. And as many of you may know, our own Oregon delegation, Senators Wyatt and Merkley and Representative Salinas, they chose to not attend. They chose to boycott the event. And this, you know, the House was not silent, though. It was full of racist tropes and open shouting matches. And it was, the mask of civility didn't just slip. In this case, it just was completely torn off. And the ugliness of this administration was on full view and the denial of reality as well. And but please do call in. The number here is 503-231-8187. So please do call in if you have anything to say about what happened last night. And so we're going to break down the facts and the fallout and about what happened last night. And so please, do call in and give your point of view, what you saw last night or what you chose to watch instead. I'd like to hear that as well. And get some input from you on the latest developments in the Trump reality show, which has been taking over our world and our country and our minds, even the occupation of that. So, I think we have some audio of a sort of very short, Mehdi Hasan posted on Blue Sky, a 2 minute short sort of version of what happened. So can we play that, Ty? Ty, can we play that audio?
Anywhere in the world, the hottest. Our country is winning again. In fact, we're winning so much that we really don't know.
I'm having trouble with the audios.
Let me try playing it from my end, okay?
Where in the world? Our country is winning again. In fact, we're winning so much that we really don't know what to do about it. People are asking me, please, 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 Mr. President, we're winning too much. We can't take it anymore. We're not used to winning in our country. Until you came along, but now we're winning too much. No. You're going to win again. You're going to win big. You're going to win bigger than ever. And to prove that point, here with us tonight is a group of winners who just made the entire nation proud. The men, hockey team, come on in. And in 1 year, we have lifted 2.4 million Americans, a record off of food stamps. So in my second term, it's been my third term, right? Brings things happen. Let's also ensure that members of Congress cannot corruptly profit using insider information. If nobody shows up, these people are crazy. I'm telling you, they're crazy. That is why I'm also asking you to safe for cities that protect the terrorists and serious penalties for public officials. The Somali pirates who wear sacks, Minnesota, remind us that there are large parts of the world where bribery, corruption, and lawlessness are the norm, not the exception. I've always wanted the minor, but I was informed I'm not allowed to give it to myself, and I wouldn't know why I'd be taking it, but if they ever open up that law, I will be there with you someday.
Okay, I don't know if you caught all of that. We're having a bit of technical difficulties, so But that was just a brief two-minute take on the president's 108-minute speech. And I apologize if that wasn't very loud enough, but I will work on that. Don't worry. Hang in with me here, okay? So that was sort of in that two-minute clip. And we'll hear more from the president. Don't worry. I know it's awful. But the president painted a picture of a golden age, right, claiming inflation is plummeting and the economy is roaring like never before. But, we should definitely do a fact check here. He boasted that this is the hottest country in the world, but GDP growth actually slowed to 2.2% in 2025. He also claimed that he inherited a stagnant economy, but we know he took office with inflation already cooling. And of course, for folks in Portland who are seeing rent and grocery bills stay high, these claims of a roaring economy really don't hit home. They don't really bear out. And so, I'd like to hear from you all. Are the president's economic victories reaching your neighborhood, or are you hearing a different story at the checkout line? So just let me know. And I think the next segment I want to talk about is the anti-immigrant screed. So Sal, you're going to hear more of Trump's voice. And what happened? How Democratic representatives who were there, including Congresswoman Ilhan Omar from Minnesota and Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, their response. You can hear a little bit in this audio, but definitely what he said hit home for the congresswoman from Minnesota because, of course, of the violence that she's seen in her own state and the way his comments were directed at. Particularly immigrants and even Somalis, her own people. So let me play a little bit of that.
So tonight I'm inviting every legislature to join with my administration in reaffirming a fundamental principle. If you agree with this statement, then stand up and show your support. The first duty of the American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens.
Do you have the clip? I can't hear it. I'm not hearing the clip.
Isn't that a shame? You should be ashamed of yourself not standing up. You should be ashamed of yourself. That is why I'm also asking you to end deadly sanctuary cities that protect the criminals and enact serious penalties for public officials who block the removal of criminal aliens, in many cases drug lords, murderers all over our country. They're blocking the removal of these people out of our country, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Jackie, are you there?
We thank you for watching. Okay. Remember, stay updated on breaking
news. Hold on a second here.
On the NBC News app, or watch.
So anyway, that was some audio there. Sorry about that. From the State of the Union last night, and you could listen to Trump attacking, targeting the Somali community in Minnesota, and using phrases like Somali pirates and alleging he's alleged they have a $19 billion fraud scheme. This is from someone who has, Trump has a lot of schemes going on and has made billions in his first year in office in his second term. And basically, he's a person who should know shame. He's telling claiming that you know, folks who are standing up against his violence, his killing of Americans in the streets, and his absolute his hateful policies that are, you know, incarcerating small children and even babies, is somehow something that we should be ashamed of being angry at. His destruction and dismantling of our democracy, our democratic institutions, so he can maintain power. But somehow it's shameful to stand up against that. This is a shameless man, right? And so, but of course, Representative Ilhan Omar did not just sit there. She shouted back. And so, you know, she shouted back, "That's a lie. You're a liar." And when the president spoke about protecting citizens, not illegal aliens, Omar and Representative Rashida Tlaib shouted, "You have killed Americans," referencing the tragic shooting of two U.S. citizens by federal agents during recent immigration enforcement. And I think other folks have been killed as well, and it's just horrific. And if you'd like to talk about that moment, I know it's been reported a lot in the press, but if you'd like to talk about that and, about you know, this moment, I don't think this has ever happened before in a State of the Union. Correct me if I'm wrong. The number here is 503-231-8187. I don't know if you read the comments and some of these things, but I don't know. I think that there's a lot of bots out there. Certainly, the Trump is not very popular right now. His popularity is at historic lows. Particularly, support for his immigration policies is incredibly low, and yet, you know, you got the bots out there attacking, Ilhan Omar and for standing up for her people, you know, I know that Chuck Schumer, you know, was trying to say that the Democrats should sit in the House chamber, completely silent, you know, as an act of silent defiance, right? But you know, sometimes I don't think that's, I mean, what do you think of that strategy? It seems, I don't know, ridiculous. I think they should come with signs. They should have, you know, even if it meant being kicked out, they should have stood up for, called him out on the Epstein files, on the murder of Americans, and the incredibly, the human rights violations, the complete abandonment of legal processes in this country. I think that it should have been a moment then, rather than allow the Republicans to continue to dodge and spin and just the worst way, sneer at the concerns of Americans and the whole structure of democracy as well. Who should be ashamed? He should be ashamed, right? So please do call in if you have any opinions on that moment. The number here is 503-231-8187. And also there was another moment that happened, and actually one Congress Representative Al Green of Texas, he brought his own sign, and I think we'll play that as well. About what his sign said. You may have already heard of this, of course.
State of the Union address. Knowing that the president would come in and that he would have to pass by me to get to the podium. And I wanted him to know that portraying the President Obama and First Lady Obama as members of the primate family is not only unacceptable, it is something that is deplorable and something that we will not tolerate. At least I will not. And I wanted him to get close to someone who could tell him to his face. And I did. And judging from the look on his face as he turned away quickly, he was at a moment of vulnerability because he's not confronted by people who are willing to speak truth to him.
Okay. So that was Representative Al Green of Texas. And he was actually, I think, even before the speech began, I think he was escorted out by the sergeant of arms at arms there. So he was holding a sign that read, "Black people aren't apes," and this was a direct response to a racist video shared on the president's
social media depicting the Obamas. As Green was let out, the chamber erupted into shouts of USA, USA. And you'll hear this a lot, these USA chants. And it's just, I think you heard a bit. I actually, in that previous one where, when he gave his, when Trump gave his anti-immigrant screed, I did cut down the applause. It was about 2 minutes of applause for his whole spiel about protecting citizens, not illegal aliens, and the chant USA USA to me is just giving shades of fascism, you know, of just this horrible almost a refusal to engage what's going on right now, a refusal to admit the truth that this country has been racist, you know, taking down signs in national parks and monuments about Native Americans, about the Black struggle in this country, about even at Stonewall, just the struggle that people have had to make for centuries to make this place more equitable, to live up to its alleged ideals, right? And they're taking that all down. It's really is like children having a tantrum, right? And I feel like I'm working on a piece on this right now, discussing how an article about how the whole world can see that white Americans, and it is white Americans, right? How their tantrum over their refusal to engage facts and truths is really playing out for the whole world to see. Right, electing someone like Trump, still supporting him. I think, even though his general support is very low, I mean, for Republicans, it's still over 80%. Right, they still fully support him, and I understand that, you know, even his the 20% who don't support him, that's rather high for him with Republicans. But it's quite shocking, really, and. And, you know, white voters are still the majority in this country. And if they stick together enough like that over someone like him, they can really cause a lot of harm to everyone else, you know, even death and breaking up families. I mean, we still don't know what happened to the children who were the families who were, you know, divided at the border in the last administration, his last administration, Trump's last. It's just what is going on? And they just refuse. They're just blind and angry and just refuse to engage anything that they don't want to engage. And they want to try to take the country back to before the civil rights movement. This is really what Make America Great Again means, right? So, so that's what's been going on there. Anyway, I do admire Al Green for standing up for just basic human dignity, and I think maybe all of you felt the horror that I felt with the sort of nationalist chanting, you know, and what it says about our current state of democracy in this country. And so, but anyway, yeah, please do call in. The number here is 503-231-8187, and there's another person who I think is pretty interesting in the stand he made, and is Senator Mark Kelly. And you may know that the Pentagon, Mark Hegseth, was, ordering, trying to punish him. He's the Democratic senator from Arizona, and he's a former Navy pilot, and he participated in a video with, I think, about five other members of Congress calling for the troops to resist unlawful orders, and so the DOJ could not get an indictment of him. They refused, and now they're going to appeal that, and they're trying to basically get him demoted. And so this has been ongoing. But he had something to say. But I'll play that after this. We have a caller. Hi, Santiago.
Good morning. Yeah, you know, this, so, you know, when it comes to the state of I don't know what people were really expecting listening to Trump blabber on for, you know, over 100 minutes, but you know, the fact of the matter is you're right. You know, they are throwing a tantrum, but, it, you know, and I think you've discussed this before, but we've never true, but, you know, whether it be Democrats or Republicans have never truly addressed the fairy tale around the United States, because it's easy to throw a tantrum like a petulant child when all of your worldview is just a fantasy. You know, we've never addressed wholly, you know, the true criminality of the United States and how it, you know, it was like 13 corporations masquerading as a small nation, you know, before the westward expansion. And, you know, and I mean, essentially that's the only existence America's ever had. America has never had a communal past. You know, the true communal past is held by the indigenous people. But, you know, we were paved over to make way for America. But America was basically born a bourgeois country. You know, they mm-hmm. have, you know, it was founded as a white man's Shangri-La, you know, where they, you know, they felt that they could just come and they didn't have to work at all. That's why African people were enslaved and brought here. So white people could, so the white bourgeoisie could literally just gamble and drink all they wanted while their work was done for them. But I mean, the point is that, you know, until, you know, especially Democrats, I mean, I'm, you know, like Democrats are a huge disappointment. And it's really because, like, you know, like Chuck Schumer saying that people need to sit in there in silent protest. Chuck Schumer is the reason why. You know, is the reason why, you know, somebody like Trump could be in power. You know, he's been in power since the 80s, you know, and I don't know if people have seen the video of him circulating when he was back in the 80s when Jesse Jackson was running for president. You know, he looks like, he very much looks like Stephen Miller in his presentation. And, you know, and he's talking about how, you know, they defeated the Jesse Jackson plank of the Democratic Party. You know, he's part of the reason why, you know, he's part of that old guard that does not want the status quo to move. You know, these are people who have, you know, who want to support Israel, not because they actually support Jewish people, but because it's basically an American military base masquerading as a nation state. They need that foothold in the Middle East. You know, they don't want to, you know, they can't truly address the evils of you know, why people are in poverty, because ultimately they take money from the same donors as the Republicans. You know, that's why we have to talk about no kings instead of no capitalists. You know, it's easy to get caught up in the vagary of what, you know, a capitalist or an oligarch is. I mean, mostly because we don't live under a feudal system. But when the second you start saying no capitalist, now we're talking like the real deal. So, I mean, even on what's supposed to be like the opposition team, they're still living within a fantasy, you know, and I think the true fantasy is thinking that we can preserve, you know, the criminality of the United States while trying to make you know, like somehow we can, you know, take a nation that was founded on a criminal lie that can, you know, somehow function as an actual democracy with equal rights. You know, like, I guess, like, when you look at, like, even, you know, even as much as, like, the EU is suffering right now, at least the French, as far as I know, the France was able to rewrite its constitution multiple times. The constitution has never been rewritten in the almost 250 years of this country. But, I mean, all that to say that it's just, you know, we have a huge power structure that's absolutely invested, whether they truly approve or not. It's founded on the exploitation of lower classes. And unless we address that, then we're just going to keep ending up back here.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, the issue is, I guess, in the money in politics, right? I mean, everyone's pointing at AIPAC
I don't know if money in politics, but I mean, money has always been a part of politics. We just somehow think that, like, this is, I mean, yes, it's taken to a new level of corruption, but I mean, money has always been involved in politics. I mean, like I said, you know, the politics of this country I don't know. I just, like, saying money in politics doesn't really mean much. It's about, like, like, you know, like, I mean, I don't know.
I don't mean just the recent money in politics, but it's the structure of money and how it drives politics. I mean, you're talking about Jesse Jackson. Chuck Schumer blocking Jesse Jackson's 1988 Democratic National Convention plank that supported Palestinian self-determination, of course, reveals a long-standing opposition to progressive stances, right? And within the Democratic Party. And it's the party's reluctance to embrace. But I mean, you know, how do people like Chuck Schumer even become leaders? It's because of money, right? Even in the very beginning, and that gets them where they are because they have to raise money to run. They have to, you know, have that kind of support and maybe even money in their own family, right? And so it's, you know, I mean, these ideas don't get here without money. I've been wanting to do a longer piece looking at sort of the origins of a lot of these different planks of conservatism that have come to dominate us right now. And it's really interesting when you look at, sort of you trace back where a lot of these groups came from, whether it's the conservative takeover of the Supreme Court, or the Heritage Foundation and Project 2025, and much, you know, these are sort of long term games that have been going on for decades now, at least since the 70s, and they've been they've borne fruit, right? And the money that goes behind that kind of thing, it's always there. You know, I think I mentioned in a previous episode show that I was told as an undergraduate at Dartmouth that if I went on the Republican route, you know, my career would be set. Like, there was a whole group of people there in Washington, D.C. just waiting for someone like me to put me on TV, to do all these things for me. And that's money talking.
Sure.
So it's, you know, I mean, taking the route I've taken now hasn't, I don't have any money support for that.
Obviously you need money to run in politics to a certain extent. And like I said, it's really just the fundamental lie of what this country is, because, you know, both parties protect that, you know, like, unless we, you know, when you talk about it, you know, from a capitalist perspective, like, they need an underclass to exploit. And right now it's Latinos. Back in the day, it was, you know, it was enslaved Africans. And then it was the Chinese. They constantly need to have somebody to pick on, somebody to be able to, and if they can't do it, then they ship it out to the third world, you know? So, I mean, really just addressing the problem is addressing, like, the fundamental, you know, the fundamental flaw that, you know, a lot of Western nations have, is that, you know, all of their riches are predicated upon the exploitation of others. And we need to get past that if we're going to have, like, any sort of way to really, you know, if there's anything worth fixing, that's where it's going to be fixed at.
Yeah, and also understanding how, the fact that Schumer is a terrible ally. And why is that? You know, I mean, I just saw that Mother Jones had released some reporting on, and I know this is an old trope, but an old boogie man, but it's, the Bohemian Grove, and they managed to get a list of the actual members who had attended, like, in 2017 and 2023. And the crazy thing is that it's not just Republicans, you know. Of course, the Bohemian Grove was sort of, that's where the Heritage Foundation came out, you know, with, I can't remember which, I think it was Sears, Air or something that helped fund it or something, and that was first proposed at the Bohemian Grove. They got copies of their stuff and everything, and then they also found that Pelosi's husband goes, you know, the guy who got beaten up by a Trump supporter or a QAnon person, and he's there too, you know, and so it's just like this sort of mapping the way in which money flows and the influence it has. And the way in which we seem to have some kind of collusion going on between the two sides. I mean, as a parent, you know, but understanding how that works, I think you're right, is really important. The way that this is a corporate endeavor, the country has been from the very beginning. The colonies, as we've discussed before, they were corporations. You know, the Mayflower Compact was signed by stockholders. These are not democratic processes, you know. These are corporate processes, you know. And this is the main DNA of this country. And so it's not surprising I guess things have to figure out how to, I mean, there have been points that we've been able to take it back. And these are the things that when they say make America great again, they want to basically undo those wins, you know? And it's pretty crazy. So how did you feel about, the back and forth with, Ilhan Omar and stuff with Trump? How did you feel about that?
You know, I think it was really great. I mean, obviously there's only so much you can do within the realm of the politics set that we have. But, I mean, it'd be nice to see that fight from other people who claim to be against Trump. Because right now it's like if it's only black and brown women shouting, then it's just liberals, you know, it's just white liberals doing what they do. You know, thinking that like they keep saying like, oh, you know, like when Kamala was running, it's like, oh, black women are going to save us. And it's like, no, y'all need to save yourselves, man. Black and brown women are tired of carrying you. You know, they're tired of carrying you. They're tired of, you know, coddling you when you're having a rough day. They're tired of, you know, I mean, it's, you know, they shouldn't have to, you know, they, you know, black and brown women should not have to, it should not have to fall to them. To, you know, the people who are put upon the most in our society to be able to save this thing. You know, it's like, it's like that old saying, like, you know, whites, you know, things aren't going to change unless white people stop thinking that, you know, white supremacy is a black and brown problem they need to empathize with rather than a white problem they need to solve.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. All right, I'm gonna play some lawmakers reacting to this. If callers want to call in and give their responses to it, please do. So the number here is 503-231-8187. Thanks for bringing that up, Santiago, about the issue of it being a corporate structure. Really important sort of point to make. So, all right, I'm gonna play this bit. See if I can get it working.
What do you think of the state of delusion? I loved it. He had so much good news to report to the American people. He probably could have gone longer. I thought Tlaib and Omar and a few others really brought shame upon their party and upon themselves.
You know, the Democrats didn't stand to cheer for the people that survived, the family members, things like that. That just, to me, epitomizes just how far the left is and just how crazy they are.
This is a president and an administration that has quite literally facilitated the murder of American citizens in our streets on video, which frankly only makes the president's statement about protecting American citizens and or addressing undocumented immigrants such a fallacious and offensive statement.
President Trump gave an incredibly optimistic vision of the country, bringing in the hockey team. I mean, that brought the house down.
So you heard that last bit about the hockey team. I debated whether playing the audio of them entering the State of the Union, and there were, I think, 8 members of the U.S. men's hockey team that came, and I think 5 boycotted. You can read online a lot of the backlash against the hockey team and them having that idiot from the FBI there cheering along with them. Of course, we paid for him to go there and Cash Patel and go, you know, do a ridiculous, make a fool of himself there. And then of course, you know, they did that phone call with Trump and laughed when he made fun of basically the women's hockey team, saying, oh, I guess we'll have to invite them too. And for a lot of people, that sort of emphasized, you know, the way in which hockey is very misogynistic. And that they were, you know, kind of, you know, excited and happy to be talking to someone who has potential ties to, has had allegations raised against him of actually child SA, you know, sexual abuse, and it's in the Epstein files, and they're just happy to talk to him and to laugh at his jokes demeaning the women's team, which is actually a much better team, has a much better record than the men's team, honestly. And so and yet, you know, they were there happily, you know, holding their fists in the air as they were being cheered at the State of the Union, and which was, I think, really shameful. And so But yeah, that was, you can hear some of the responses and, of course, the way in which, you know, they're trying to, the Republicans are trying to characterize, you know, any sort of, you know, addressing these really horrific things that the administration has done, the harm they've caused, the terror that they're, you know, spending billions of our tax dollars on. While they say there is no money, right, to subsidize, you know, Obamacare payments, they are spending, you know, I think billions and billions of dollars on ICE, and it's, I think, one of the most well-funded military operations in the world. They have more money than most armies in the world, and yet, you know, just to do what? We're going to be commit crimes. You know, I hope that people sue them for how they've been treated, but of course, that money isn't going to come out of Trump's pocket. That's going to come out of ours, but you know, of course, they deserve it after what he put them through, and they didn't deserve to go through that either. And it's just those. It just shows just how the Republicans they have not divorced themselves from Trump, even as his support is going downhill. I think Leader Johnson's statements, he said that if they don't win the midterms, that Trump's term is over at that point, right? And I guess he was trying to get out the vote with that statement, but it also says that, well, if he doesn't win the midterms, what the heck, why do the Republicans even need to follow him anymore? Is there any need to, you know, do what they did last night, which is, you know, happily stand behind him and ignore everything that's going on, ignore all the horrific things that are happening in this country. And I guess if that's the one thing I take from the State of the Union, it would be that there's just, you know, this nationalism that they're trying to show, even as it's losing support. I mean, Trump doubling down on his immigration policies in his State of the Union address is actually very unpopular. You know, it's losing them support nationwide, and yet they will not let go of it. So that's part of what's going on there. I will also play a little bit of Mark Kelly, well, his response to the attempted lawsuit against him by the DOJ and by Mark Hegseth. So,
hey, folks. So a lot of people have asked me about tonight's State of the Union, and no matter what the president says, the truth is, the American people know that this guy's failed. They're living it every day. He's failed to bring down costs. He's failed to fight for working families. And he's failed to uphold his commitment to the Constitution by going after me and other Americans' First Amendment rights. All while he and his friends, they just get richer. Now, I'm going to be there tonight because 2 weeks ago, this president tried to put me in jail. And I'll be there because he and Pete Hegseth can't shut me up or keep me from doing my job. When the people of Arizona sent me to Washington to represent them, I took an oath to protect the Constitution. That's the same oath that I took when I joined the Navy. So we're going to see what he has to say tonight, and I'm going to be there watching, and more to come.
So that was Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona, and responding to reasons for his perspective on the State of the Union and the attempts by Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth to basically punish him for participating in a video that called on troops to resist unlawful orders from Trump. And they don't say Trump specifically in the video, but they basically say, generally, this is what you swore to do, to uphold the Constitution, and you must, you have the right to not obey unlawful orders. And so a judge has blocked the administration from punishing him for saying that. And so, as I mentioned earlier, poll after poll is showing that an increasing number of Americans don't support Trump, right? And a CNN poll released on Monday finds that the percentage of Americans who say that the president is focused on the wrong things went up almost 70% from 55% in February. Large majorities of young voters, independents, and non-white voters, key constituencies that helped reelect Mr. Trump, this is coming from the New York Times,
say that the president is not focused on the country's most important issues. And so, it's been really going down. Only 34% of Americans approve of Mr. Trump's handling of tariffs. And so even as he's finding ways to get around the Supreme Court ruling on Friday that struck many of them down. So these things that he is doing are not popular. And it says voters are most discontent with his handling of inflation, with only 32% of Americans in favor of it. And so that is quite low. So these things that he was really doubling down on, and the Republican leadership were happily clapping away and cheering, are not popular actually at all. And so that's what's going on there. I know that some of the fact checking around Trump's very, very long State of the Union address, it was 1 hour and 47 minutes. Some of the different things that were actually not true. He's claiming that that inflation has slowed since he took office. He claims that their policies, meaning Biden, created the high prices. Our policies are rapidly ending them. And this has been, it's actually, they have actually, prices have increased overall over the year. And while some have increased in the last month, decreased in the last month, they have increased overall in the past 12 months. Beef prices by 15%. Okay. And of course, the egg price thing is such a silly thing, because of course that was due to, chickens were getting bird flu. And that seems to never be discussed. And of course, Trump has gutted funding for research and even monitoring of bird flu in this country, which is just setting us up for another huge issue, and possibly even bird flu. I think there was one recorded instance in the past year of bird flu crossing over to a human being. And so it's I mean, yeah, and I guess if that doesn't actually come to pass until the Democrat takes over, he'll probably blame it on them instead of on his own policy decisions and gutting of federal departments. So, but overall grocery prices have increased 2.1% in the 12 months that he's been in office. So, and Trump policies have been blamed for this, for adding to the inflation. Economists at Harvard estimated that Trump's tariffs, import taxes in 2025 lifted the overall U.S. rate of consumer price inflation relative to where it otherwise would have been by around 0.92% percentage points in January. So prices would be lower now. And of course, the gasoline quotes he made are completely inaccurate. It is not now below $2.3 a gallon. It's actually closer to $3 a gallon. So that's some of the little, really quick look at some of these false claims that he made during the State of the Union. I think we're going to switch over now to looking at, many of our local congressional members chose to not attend the State of the Union. And so Senators Wyden and Merkley, of course, held a counter town hall. Representative Andrew Salinas called the State of the Union a mockery, and so the Al Green sign actually seat was actually left empty with a cardboard sign. And what do you take of that? Do you think that was did you attend any of these alternate, or you know, people who attend these alternate State of the Unions? I'm going to play a little bit of audio from looking at some of the different events that were going on instead. So we have a caller. Jeff, hello?
Good morning, Jackie. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to bring up points of style and intelligence. Only P.T. Barnum in his day could be more of a showman, and his audience more of a circus crowd. I did not pay attention, neither looked, nor did I listen. to the diatribes of the orange Caligula. But H.L. Mencken did a good job when he wrote in 1932 that no one went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American people. The show, which is what it was an embarrassment to the traditions of the nation and to the intelligence of the nation. And to find that these Republicans were childishly boyish and puerile teenagers is not surprising. We live in a very dangerous time. Thanks for taking my call. Goodbye.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, that's a really good point. I think that when we talk about these things being a show or being, in line with sort of, P.T. Barnum or these sort of huckster sort of things, it's absolutely true. It's although much scarier because we're not just talking about them hawking snake oil, which of course is really dangerous and kick lives, I'm sure, but this is happening, at a level of power that we have never seen before. I mean, whatever we may think of the White House or the presidency, it is still the most powerful position in the world. You can see him taking over things that we fund and turning it into sort of, whether it's Department of Justice or what have you, Hegseth going after Senator Kelly, claiming that he trying to go after his rank and pension for sedition because he told troops they could refuse illegal orders. You are seeing like this total takeover of a massive structure of power, and it's being directed at anyone who opposes this one very very narcissistic, egotistical person, and it's the voting of this person into office, and the way in which these folks are just stepping and like staying behind him for power and to get their various things passed, whether it's, the Supreme Court was actually there. Only, I think, four members of the Supreme Court were there, three of which had voted against Trump's, tariffs. And I think only one voted, Kavanaugh voted to retain his tariffs. But for so long, the Supreme Court has enabled this man. And that's a whole nother, I want to look at the history of that, of how this this very far right group has taken over the Supreme Court, and it's very interesting. Actually, I'm gonna write more about this, but part of it does go back to Opus Dei, which of course is that Catholic sect that Scalia belonged to, and I know about that because Scalia actually argued that Opus Dei should have sovereignty, even as he argued that tribes should not have sovereignty. kind of a personal angle on that. It's crazy how, of course, Opus Dei got its start in fascist Spain under Franco, right? And yet it somehow managed to reach over here and begin to really shape the laws under which we live, and which has culminated with Trump having almost complete immunity for criminal actions he takes while in office. Right. And now the dismantling of our voting rights and of women's rights to their bodies, it's all happening. And it is interesting to see where these things came from and how they were implemented. So we can undo that and also begin to create defenses against that happening again. But I'll go ahead and play now some audio of about what our congressmen were up to. So here we go.
Let's begin with Oregon Congresswoman Suzanne Bonamici. She skipped the State of Union and instead hosted a telephone town hall with Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield. Now, in an interview today, Bonamici took aim at the administration's tariff policies, saying they have made life more expensive for Oregonians during the president's first year back in office. Tariffs are taxes, and Oregonians paid, as I said, about $1,700 more because of the tariffs. But there's other things we can do as well. One of them is extend the Affordable Care Act premium tax credits, and the House voted to do that. Now, Oregon U.S. Senators Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley also opted out of the president's address. Tuesday afternoon, they held a virtual town hall taking questions from Oregonians on issues including immigration reform amid increased detainments by federal agents in local communities. Here's part of what Senator Wyden said about the president's approach.
He didn't talk about taking young people off the streets or priests or the like. He said he was going to go after cartels and murderers and the drug networks and the like. And we've got to get an approach on immigration that goes back to what Donald Trump said he was going to do in 2024 and hasn't come close to even trying.
And in her own virtual address, U.S. Senator Patty Murray from Washington State spoke in part about the impact of tariffs the president placed on Canada in 2025 and what she says it has meant for tourism in Washington.
Canada is one of our closest allies and our closest neighbor here in Washington State. But Trump has insulted them. He started a trade war with them, and he repeatedly inflamed tensions. There were more than 1 million fewer of our Canadian friends visiting our state this past year.
So that's sort of a roundup of some of the things that were that some of our local Congress members and had to say about the State of the Union and what Trump's policies really mean for Americans and locally here in the Pacific Northwest. And we're almost down to the last few minutes, but I'd love to hear your take on that. And what would you like to see our local congressional delegation do about this? The number here is 503-231-8187. And I think the thing I'd like to do is actually add up how much all of this is costing us. I mean, of course, we're talking about tariffs, right? I think last Thursday I talked about how this could cost us about $170 billion returning money that he took in tariffs. And of course, the money is not going to go to the taxpayers who paid those tariffs at the till. It's going to go to the companies, right? But I think Costco sued and other, they're all lining up for the money, but they're not going to return it to us. I don't think there's no way. I don't know if that's even being discussed. And also, will they lower the prices that they've increased? I don't know if that's going to happen. And of course, Trump is trying to institute another tariff tax to replace that one somehow. And of course, partly is because I don't think he has the $170 billion to repay them. And so he's trying to, create another tax so he can actually probably keep it even, maybe. And then, of course, all the money that's had to go into lawsuits, right, all the legal fees we've had to pay to regain rights, to fight things and to do all this stuff. I mean, I'd like to see someone add all that up. I mean, this is a very expensive tantrum being held by Republicans and really it's shameful and it's embarrassing. Countries around the world are watching this and you can watch their news coverage. I was watching some of the stuff from South Korea, and while they're very polite, they make it very clear that this guy's an idiot, right? And you can read what Europeans are saying in the EU and how they're handling basically creating networks to cut us out, to cut Americans out. And this will have long-term effects to our economy, even with his anti-immigration thing. Immigrants grow this economy. I think I went through the statistics in a previous episode, but they are paying more into this country than they are taking out, and they are basically keeping Social Security alive. And many other, they're the ones that bring in trillions of dollars into this budget. Trump doesn't. He's never paid taxes, and he stiffs his workers. And so, yeah, that's where we're at right now. It's I definitely would like to hear more from you. Well, I'm going to be hosting another show tomorrow morning on Thursday, and at the same time, my E Pluribus Unum show, which is trying to find ways we can come together as a country, and I'll discuss more of this. And I tried to get some. I know that I think Senator Merkley did attend the alternative Supreme Court, State of the Union event outside the Capitol last night. But I didn't get clips of him. And of course, the Frogs, the Portland Frogs, did go to the D.C. and attend another event that was held there as well. I didn't get a lot of stuff from that. But there's a lot more to say about this. And maybe I'll try to break down some of the numbers of how much this is costing us, all of this, and even for the future. I mean, we may, as a Native American, I have very conflicted feelings about this country, and but I still am subject to the decisions being made, and my family is too. And so I think having it well run and not run by people who don't seem to, who seem to be driven more by emotion, by very immature responses. I mean, how have they not figured out yet that, you know, Americans are paying the terror taxes? The only country being taxed by this is the United States, right? There's no other country being taxed by this. It's just us. And yet they still don't seem to be able to figure, although, of course, you know, as I noted before, support for tariffs is very low and it is not popular. But I imagine if I broke that down for Republicans, it would be much higher. And why is that? That's what I want to know. And so maybe I'll try to break down more of this polling tomorrow and bring that to you tomorrow. So and look at and of course, you know, they're afraid of losing Texas. Texas is getting more blue, and of course they lost a lot of the Latino vote, and so of course they had planned their redistricting around maintaining those, and either they even created more Latinx sort of districts, thinking that they would hold on to that group, and you know, well, that may play against them in the end, right? And let's hope that Speaker Johnson is right, that if they lose the midterms, Trump's term is over. This is his second term is done. So thank you so much. Sorry about going a little long. This is Jacqueline Keeler, and this has been KVU's Wednesday Talk Radio.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9 a.m.
Hi, this is Ray Lynn, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
Into the streets, into the streets.